You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Let's ring him.
Is he on or are we going to ring him?
Let's ring him now.
Why is the volumes up so high?
Because we had some technical problems and Rob fixed it.
So
is this Hutto?
Well, this is hopefully Hutto. We're going to ring him.
But hang on, isn't he down in Tasmania? They're unveiling a statue to him at New Norfolk.
You're an idiot. Here he comes.
That's Peter Hudson, you fool.
Well, who have we got? Listen.
You stupid man.
Hello?
Anthony Hudson?
Yes, it is.
This is Sam Newman and Don Scott is... we are ringing you. We're on... You cannot be serious. We're recording this, so we have to tell you that by law in case you're going to say something about Don or I that you might regret or we might regret.
Well, I was going to, but anyway.
Well, thank you very much for taking the call, Anthony. Now,
congratulations on your courage, Anthony, to come on this because there's not many commentators or radio personalities
Don.
Will.
Of course they will. We've had...
Just let Anthony finish. Go on, Anthony.
You just rang me, Don. I just picked up the phone.
We caught you with your pants down, so you'd like to hang up and go elsewhere now.
Well, probably, but anyway, let's keep going.
Don, we've had hundreds of people come on and speak to us. Don't be so stupid. And when I said we've got you coming on, he said they've just unveiling a statue down in Tasmania. He thinks you're Peter Hudson.
That's my uncle.
Anthony. Thank you very much, pardon us if we're not quite across your whole career because we've been given about 1 minute's notice that you were going to be rung. So I know who you are. You're a very talented and competent man. You are a young man relatively compared to Don and I. I think you're just 50 or 49, are you?
49, actually.
Right,
Sam,
well, let's make sure you ask Don and I to your 50th. You have a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism and you're very well credentialed. And the reason we're speaking to you is because we regard you highly as a football commentator, sports commentator per se, but a football commentator. And we thought we'd ask you what you think's going on in the landscape now that I think Bruce is departing the scene. And do you have aspirations to take over from what he's doing or are you going to stay at Fox? There's a few questions for you, Anthony.
There's a few in there, Sam. I am contracted to Fox going forward and very happy there, Sam.
Yes.
So whether I would want to or not, I'll definitely be with Fox in the medium to long term. And but like everybody, I'm fascinated to see what happens because Bruce he's dominated the free-to-air space for 20-something years and been an incredible icon. So, but it won't be me filling his boots, Sam.
I was interested, Anthony, just listening to John when he introduced you. You've got a BA in journalism. So at a young age, you obviously were interested and you set out to do that, but you've also got to have talent to do what you're doing. And obviously a lot of young kids who want to do journalism do exactly the same as you, but haven't got the talent to go on further. What was your break and how did you get into actually calling the game or being a commentator?
Don, that's what I wanted to be. Obviously, like most kids, I ran around in the backyard, thought I would be playing cricket for Australia and footy for Geelong. Sam was one of my early heroes going all the way back. But I realised somewhere along the line that probably I wasn't going to get my 200 games or play for Australia. So, I had to try and find a path into calling because that was going to be the closest thing to it. So, and again, without that, I probably realised that going and getting being a journalist and getting into the media somehow, getting into the industry was what I had to do. So, I was lucky enough to get in at RMIT and then did work experience at 3AW and actually not too long in, I found myself working with Sam. So, really, AW is where I was able to get my break and do cricket matches and report on tribunal and do league teams where we read from the back line. All those things just to get experience. And I also worked as a journalist. I had to cover court cases and trade union rallies and fires and all sorts of things. So that was really good grounding as well.
So now, Anthony, you absolutely, we're not trying to get you to say anything controversial. We will do that. So we're not trying to trap you into
it. You're doing it well, Sam.
We're not trying to trap you into saying something that will create a headline. But do you think it is important to have played the game at some sort of level to capture the emotion of sport, the sport that you're calling? We just spoke about Peter Landy. Don said the best commentary he heard was him commentating on the rowing, because he was a rower himself in the one of the Olympics. Do you think it's important that people should have played football at a reasonable level to capture the emotion of it or not?
I mean, they have to understand the game, Sam, and what's going on in the game. And I guess some people can see it without having played it. Others, there's no doubt that having played it helps. It helps, you know, and I didn't play it at a very good level, sadly. I would love to have. But I think having played it at some level definitely helps. It gives you some sort of understanding. But, I mean, a lot of what I do is the craft of broadcasting. So it really depends what you're talking about. But when it comes to, you know, you look at, I don't know what level Bruce played at, but he clearly loved it and had the passion and the enthusiasm and was able to get that across. So I think from a purely ball-by-ball calling aspect, it's having those skills more than having played the game that matters.
So I think I'm right in saying this, your first, you called first on 3AW the 1996 grand final between North Melbourne and the Swans. Is that right, or have I got that
right? Yeah, that's right. So Sam, and I remember we did an outside broadcast, outside the front, as we did in those days. And I remember walking in across from that outside broadcast in with you and Rex. And that was always quite a thing in itself, because it'd be like the Pied Piper, because you're on the Footy Show, and Rex had, you know, 4 billion viewers around the world with his fishing show.
Yep.
And I reckon there was at least three people that got into the ground free that day by just coming in between us all. But I don't know. I know you were very finicky about what went on in the box, Sam. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember in the first quarter I was a bit nervous, and I bumped over my can of Sprite, and it spilled everywhere in the box. Now, that wasn't as bad for you as having a banana or an apple, I know, but it did cause you a little bit of concern.
Thank you, Anthony.
Did he talk to you in those early days? Because Rod just said, Anthony, that he never spoke to Rod in the early days, in Rod's early days. He was a little bit elitist. What about you? Did you have to win your stripes before he'd speak to you?
Turn it up, Don. We're speaking to Anthony about how good he is, not about what a prick I am, Don, please.
I must admit, reluctantly, Don, but Sam was fantastic to me.
Thank you, really, Anthony.
And he, of course, you know, he had his idiosyncrasies, like I was talking about, with no fruit in the box, and I would upset him in various. I knew I had him when he would say, "You stupid boy," or he referred to me, and did you learn that in the under 12s at Bendigo? Did you, Anthony? That was a couple of things he used to say.
Please,
but no, he was very good to me both on air and off air. He was very helpful, but I think there was an element of having to earn that respect as there should be.
And what about sports yourself? What do you prefer calling, or do you call other sports?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, footy is what I've done most. I've done a little bit of golf.
Tennis.
I've done a little bit of tennis. A reasonable now amount of cricket, which I do in the summer on SCN on the radio, which I love. Cricket and footy were probably my equal loves.
Starting out, what do you prefer calling?
Football.
Probably footy overall, but I love cricket, and I wanted to do cricket, so I feel happy that I've done it. I did swimming for a few years, which, you know, I knew absolutely, your point, Sam, I knew absolutely nothing about, other than watching the Olympics every 4 years. So that was a challenge, and Nicole Livingston helped me out and got to call Michael Phelps, with a swimmer world record at a world championships in Rome. So those extra things you do, other than the normal week by week footy, are things you treasure. But I mean, it's just it's a great game to call, because of the elements that are there with the athleticism and the physicality and you know, the crowd, and so all those elements as a commentator that you love. But you know, footy is a great place to be able to execute that.
Now, is it right that you've, away from this, you've also got a little agency or a consultancy or a little business where you help people as far as the media or getting involved or being aware of the media? Is that right?
Yeah, we do a little bit of media training, I guess you'd call it, Don. We don't try and, mainly with athletes, but also with, you know, CEOs and other people, mainly in sport. We do a little bit in other business, but, and it's not, you know, don't say this. It's definitely not about, you know, we try and get them to actually bring out their personality and, yeah, but just have a bit of a plan around it.
Okay, so this leads me on, because I am very frustrated with regard to access. Well, we'll talk about AFL, for example, and there are a lot of other sports that could do. I think tennis does it very well, where you actually can get an opinion or an idea from a player directly after a game. So it's very raw and open. But the for example, AFL, I think it'd do a lot better if you had better access to the players. Let them learn the media, like you're teaching, but they learn through experience. Why is there such a barrier from getting to know AFL players through the media?
Yeah, I know, it's a great question. It's one that's been, like, for as long as I can remember, it's been a topic in, you know, within the media. And obviously it was a bit more raw in the early days. There was a time when we had the phone numbers and addresses of all the players and but that was in the very early days. It's been media managed for a long time now. And yeah, it's frustrating at times. I think, you know, even what BT was able to do with the, you know, in the rooms after that, it shows that when they do give you the access, you know, you can actually make some good TV or some good radio and there's no real dramas in it. So, yeah, I mean, I think as someone in the media, you'd always love more. These new Amazon docos are coming out, Don, where they follow the clubs for the whole year, and they're going to be pretty fascinating. So that's going to the other extreme. But, yeah, I mean, broadly, I agree with you. We'd love to have more access. And I think...
Is it the players or the clubs, Anthony?
It's the clubs. It's the clubs, Don. And
Don't the players act up? Because they've got a life after football.
Yeah.
And this is probably their only opportunity in life. And they should make the most of it. Because when they finish, there is a void. But they could prepare themselves by being a personality. They could go into sales or their own business. And they need promotion. And they should be doing it, or it should be available through them when they're highly...
But at the behest of the club, the club employ them and they can tell them whether they can go on or not.
But Anthony works with the club, so he should...
I know that.
And the clubs do encourage... I mean, they'd rather in a lot of cases, their players being killed. But there's also a culture... I don't know what it was like when you guys played, but there's a culture of anti-media, even within playing groups and clubs and... Don't tell them anything, and that was there from when I first started. So I don't know if there was ever a golden period where all the players loved the media, but I've never.
No, that's quite true, Anthony, because most of the media are trying to get gotcha questions and headlines, and they want their name to say, oh, we asked him this, and they make outlandish statements and just off the top of their head. So do you find, Anthony, that in the classes that you run, the tuition classes that you run, that you are having... do you run classes, or have I got that wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's more a lot of one-on-one or a group of three or four.
So people,
smaller groups.
So people seek you out to be trained or media savvy. Do you find an increasing number of women are coming to you with a view to getting into calling football?
Yeah, I mean, that's a different thing, a slightly different thing with people that want to actually commentate in the game. Now, there definitely is. There's definitely more women, both from obviously the female athletes that are keen to understand and broadly speaking, they're pretty good. They already have, they're much more open to giving of themselves and they, a lot of them have, better skilled in that area already. I don't know how many, but there's definitely a number of most of them are young females that want to call ball by ball.
AFL football. Call AFL
football.
Yes.
Yep.
And when you, I'm intrigued, a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism, what does that actually involve? What is actually involved in getting a degree in journalism about?
God,
do you know how to put words together or how to speak?
A bloody
or
long
diction?
Time. It's a bloody long time ago, Sam.
Parameters?
It was an arts degree, and we did media subjects. We did. I majored in politics and history, actually, going back. But
You have to write a thesis or something or a paper on it, or do you have to audio techniques or what?
Yeah, we had to do all of that sort of stuff. But as I said, it's a long time ago, Sam. So yeah, it helped me to learn how to write better. That's one thing it certainly helped me to do, which is a skill that I think everyone should try and. Yeah, it comes in so handy through life, that's for sure.
Now, I think while I've been speaking to you, I've tried to Google a little. I think you've called 6 grand finals on either Channel 7 or 10. Is that correct?
Yeah, Channel 10 through the 2000s. So, yes. Yeah, we had, do you remember the deal where Channel 9 did the Friday nights and we did all the finals?
Yes.
So it was a pretty good deal for us, and obviously it was a good deal for you.
And I just...
called those ones through the Swans and the Lions was the first one, Lions over Collingwood, and then a couple of Geelong ones as well.
Yeah, I've got all those games that you called. Now, I didn't play in a grand final, mind you, but I played in a few finals, got pretty nervous. Did you get nervous before you called the grand finals? Because... you only get one chance to get it right. You can't replay it all, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I certainly did. I mean, I hope by that time of the year and you put the work in and do all those things you say, but the preparation, stands you in good stead, but absolutely nervous the first time. The first one I did was Brisbane Collingwood, and Brisbane were overwhelming favourites, and it was the one where Acker kicked the goal. You know, Lethal, they did the lips of Lethal, and Lethal said, get to the front, Acker, front and centre, and he snapped the goal, and they won all these awards. It was the only thing Lee said in the box for the whole day. So,
Go ahead.
That's all right. So I did that one with Steve Quarterman and Wolsey and Blighty, I think. And so it ended up being close, and it was everything I'd hoped it would be in terms of, certainly nervous, but exciting, and getting to call a grand final is still amazing to look back on.
And then the two teams backed up again the next year, didn't they? Collingwood again.
Absolutely smashed them, and that was a back-to-back-to-back when they won. So it was probably a little bit different when it's 80 points the difference. You know what a final's like? It sucks the air out pretty quickly.
And of course, if you if you are noted for a saying like Stephen Quatermain saying about the boy, the Sydney Swans boy, you star, whatever it was, I can't remember.
Leo Barry, you
star. Yes, and Lou Jezalenko, you're into the annals of famous sayings, or if you like sayings that are often quoted. I see it, but I don't believe it. That was about. I think Davis's goal for the Sydney Swans in the 2005 grand final. So is it important to be immortalised in either celluloid or on audio for some of the things you say? And do you rehearse things to say, hoping the opportunity will come to say them?
It's a good question. I don't know whether it's important or not. You would hope that over the years you say something that might be remembered, I suppose, Sam. I don't try and rehearse a moment for a particular time, but I definitely, when I hear a word or I think of a word, I hear someone say it, or you think, I could use that. I might note that down and hope that's sort of it's in your little book and it's in your head that you might get a chance to use that. But I think someone like Dennis has showed that it's about when if you've got a line or something you think you can add, then you've got to choose your moments and say it at the right time, and that's what he was always a genius at. So, the moment you enjoy the most are the ones when a line just comes to you at the time on the spot. They're the ones you enjoy the most.
Well, so obviously when the West Coast played the Sydney Swans, you said that was the second game. And you said, well, the sequel. You wouldn't believe it, the sequel, I think this is about right, the sequel, you wouldn't believe the sequel
would have
been as good as the original. Yes.
Who would have thought the sequel would be just as good as the original, yeah? Well, I thought of that line the night before, actually, Sam, perfectly honest with you.
Did you? Well, I was just going to say, I would have thought that would have been off the top of your head, because how did you know it was going to be a good game? But you anticipated it might be.
No, I didn't get the full line, but I just had sort of like, I can't actually remember that clearly, but I know I had the sequel in my head. There's something to do with the sequel. So, and then I just had to work out how I was going to frame it. But yeah, obviously I didn't know it was going to be like it turned out, and I'd love to say the whole thing came off the top of my head, but I definitely had something in my head about the sequel. I know.
In all aspects of life, Anthony, there are people that influence us, or we are impressed by them. We might take a little bit from all the commentators, both locally and overseas. Who do you take little bits of from, or who do you admire?
Yeah, I mean, Bruce, having just announced he's not going to be calling footy anymore, he's definitely, it's a whole lot. I mean, when I was a kid, it was Graeme Stokey Dawson. And the ABC, that's all we could get in Bendigo growing up, apart from when I would sit in the front, out the front of my dad's Kingswood and listen to 3GL and hear.
Ivor Grundy and Leo O'Halloran.
I don't know who, I can't remember.
Ivor Grundy.
It was Teddy a bit later.
Teddy Whitten.
Brian Brushfield. Peter LeGrand. But on the Murray's Menswear scoreboard.
Yeah, Murray's Menswear.
Graeme Smokey Dawson was probably one of the first, and then Tim Lane, and then obviously working with Rex. I mean, I would have been a very different caller having to work with Rex.
What did you get from each of those then?
Well, I think from the AB, from Smokey had a bit of entertainment, but he was a pure caller, and Tim was definitely a pure caller and a great, so articulate and great use of words. And Rex was completely different. He was entertainment. I remember Sam saying to me one day, just give them what they least expect. And, you know, working with Sam and working with Rex, you just never knew what was going to come next. So probably just that element of entertainment or, you know, theatrics, I suppose, when the time's right.
I was going to say never be predictable, which is given what they least expect. So Anthony, now I know how you're going to answer this, and so you should, because you're diplomatically. But 40 years ago, you were 10, and the 1980s. Don and I probably a little disenchanted the way the game's headed these days and doesn't captivate us as much. Do you remember the game in the 80s when you were 10 and from then on, of course, and how has it changed for the better or worse, and are you still captivated and intrigued by it as you were?
Now, Sam, you were disenfranchised with the game when I was working with you. Yes. Let's be honest, that started in the 90s.
That's right.
That's been a long, you'd be saying, now, do I have to stay for the rest of this game?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of theatre in that, Anthony, to show that it wasn't a great game.
There was. I remember the days of the G when Essendon started tipping the ball around.
That's right.
The game. Look on your face.
That's quite true. I don't disassociate myself from that.
If I had to say I'm in one camp or the other, I still love elements of the game. I still love the great games are still great when the top teams are playing and they're going straight ahead. I stumbled on in just the other day, this is weird, I stumbled on the 1986, you talk about Peter Landy, it was a 1986 Foster's Cup match. It was on YouTube the other day. It was St Kilda, young Tony Lockett. There was the Crackers were playing for North Melbourne. Yes. There was Lou and Bob and Peter. And Wow Jones was in the ruck for the Saints, and I was just captivated watching it. I mean, it was a midweek game, and they'd played on the Saturday before. And I'm not saying it was the best game I've ever seen, but it was watchable because they moved the ball quickly and they just charged straight ahead. Now, there was some good skills as well. It wasn't just it wasn't hopeless by any means, but it was. Yeah, I mean, there's elements of the game when I grew up and from the 80s and 90s that I wish that we're still there, but it's changed for a whole lot of reasons, technology, coaching, a whole lot of reasons, and not always for the better. So while everyone's having a crack at the man on the mark rule that they're bringing in this year, I appreciate that that they have to, the changes need to be made to the game. So that's the camp I'm in.
I know you're contracted to Fox, but you're a very. I remember ringing you one day. I'd just like to say this. I'm not sure if it was you were on the television or I might have texted you, and I was listening to a game or watching it, and I just said, I think I texted you and said you were fantastic and you brought the whole thing without too much hyperbole, and but you were great. And I, that's why we've got you on, because it's a very difficult thing to do. I could never call football. I'm wondering if you could train Don and I to actually be proper media representatives, or are we too far gone?
No, I think you're too far gone. Yeah, so,
What about the
odd text over the years, Sam, and it is much appreciated.
You just mentioned the good call. Were you doing radio or television? And have you got to call it differently for both mediums?
Yeah, well, that was TV that day. But you do. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do both, on a weekend. So somewhere along the line, I kind of just got into that habit of being able to switch from one medium to the other. But it's not. I mean, obviously, I think the thing you struggle with TV, and I still do, is how much to say, because we've got a tradition that if you go back for almost all the callers, it's almost calling it like radio. Like, that's how it's been done on TV, whereas, you know, soccer in England was just say the name, basically, until they get the goal. So, you say less. I think you're trying to say less on TV because people can see it, but then you're trying to add to it in other ways.
Now, Anthony, we'll just give you the Dorothy Dixes before we finish this. Just before I do that, the numbers, is it a monumental task to learn the numbers of 40 players before you go and call the games, or is it just a natural thing that comes to you? And secondly, the Dorothy Dixes, who are the best people you've called? Who are the best players you've seen? Why? What's the most controversial game you've called? Any of those questions, just for the listeners, would be interested to know.
Learning the numbers. I mean, I started in the country, and it's much harder to learn 44 names of blokes you've never seen before, just the numbers and their names when you haven't seen them. So having to do that for a few years was good grounding to then come in. And it's not really that hard because you see them week in, week out. Yep. Yes, there's a few that you haven't seen. And this time of the year is the most challenging because there's new haircuts and all that sort of thing and new players. Got to put the work in until you know. So yeah, I think once you get going, then that's not the hardest thing at all. Controversial games, I think you said.
Yeah, controversial incidents that you thought, oh no, I'm not sure that's a good thing that's happened.
Yeah, well, I was calling. I should know whether I was actually calling the incident or not, but I was calling when Darren Milburn hit Stephen Silvani down at do you remember that?
Yes.
Prince's Park off the table.
Yeah.
And that was just the weirdest atmosphere. I actually felt for the safety of the Geelong players, Darren Milburn's safety leaving the ground. I remember Libba and Wayne Campbell, I was calling that day as well. I think it's the MCG. It's hard to pull out those particular, they're the ones that come to mind in terms of sort of things like that happening.
And the great players, mate. They're just the old
standard. The great players. The great players are the ones that, I mean, you know, I probably missed Gary Ablett Sr. in terms of properly calling, but just got on the end of it with Rex and Yablett. The player, I mean, Andrew McLeod is one that stands out to me from the early days. The players that get the ball and run, you know, they run and carry, as they call it these days, run and bounce. They're the sort of players that I love calling. So in those days, it was McLeod and Jarman from just beautiful ball user of the footy. And then, you know, Judd, right through the Judd and Ablett Jr. And then Buddy, who obviously is a big forward. That's, you know, getting back to how the game's played, I really miss the fact that we don't have those big forwards as dominant players. And as a commentator, there's really nothing like that build-up of a player's kick five, a player's kick six. Yeah, and obviously with Buddy, you know, going on to kick, you know, more than 10, which we just don't see very often these days. So, with apologies to a few, they're the standout players from my time.
Well, Anthony Hudson, you're a young man. I keep saying you're a young man. Yeah. from Perth, I think you originated.
No, I'm not from Perth, actually, Sam. It says in Wikipedia.
It does say that.
I called matches back to Perth.
Oh.
Back from the MCG. That's what I think. That's where they got confused.
Yeah, well, I've got confused because I didn't know you came from Perth.
No, I don't come from Perth, right. But anyway.
Well, Anthony Hudson, who's not from Perth, but is an excellent commentator on particularly football, but all sports, very articulate and very competent. And thank you for joining us. And you will only go to bigger and better things, Anthony. Thank you for joining. You cannot be serious.
Yeah, thank you, Sam, and thank you, Don. And I don't know if I should just at least just pay tribute to Bruce, who was just, as I said, an icon of the industry and a very generous man who I've spent a couple of years with at Channel 7. And when footy was through the 90s growing, it was you bloke, Sam, no doubt, with the footy show, and Bruce with his commentary and those players we talked about that played a massive part. So, thanks for having us on your podcast, Sam.
Our pleasure. Still there? Yeah.